You look good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Never gets old, JT.
Oh, yeah, people.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Go. The words of Digital Underground. It's going to be the same song.
Yeah, you're wild.
With the 12 men.
All around the world. The same song. Oh, man, Rob is on fire today. Hey, man, just like Auburn, man, a lot of fun things, man. We're going to have some fun talking sports with the 12th man. We are almost ready to kick this off. Again, it is Sunday, March the 31st again. I don't want you guys playing too many April Fool jokes tomorrow, guys, especially Rob, so just FYI. But we are officially ready to talk some sports with the 12th man, as we always like to do. We got West Coast cover. We got East Coast. We got the Midwest. Everything is, as we always say, a little lamp day. What is that? Is that how they say it, Rob? Lanyap. Okay, I tried. Anyway, Lanyap. Okay, I'll get that going for the next time, too. So let's get this party started. Let's check in with my fellas, who, again, pulling some major upsets themselves. Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I had to pull one of Rob's moves and give me a nap after I came back from taking the family to the World of Coke. But we had been trying to do a little something for them for a pre-spring break and came back home and saw some of that foolishness in that Mississippi State Duke game. Well, not foolishness, just craziness is a better word. So, yeah, you know, it's been a nice day. Can't complain.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you got a nap after drinking all that sugar, man, Coke, man. So good job for you.
Yeah,
Florida. Kudos, man. So. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Checking in with my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, bro?
Man, go ahead and cue the song up, man. That's exactly how I'm feeling. Go ahead and cue it up.
Listen, you want to cue this up here? We're going to do this here. Here we go.
Go ahead and hit it. That's exactly how I'm feeling.
Today was a good day.
Duke lost. Kentucky lost. Thank you, Andre.
Yeah, copy over to the Ivy Brothers. But yeah, they're good.
That's what we just said. How the fact is, footsteps in the dark, man. That's crazy, man. But again, we get the he actually did do the song a little justice. I've heard some of the songs that have not been good, but yeah, finish it up, Rod, man. Rod's in a good mood.
You know where the album was from.
Yep. So, Andre, he had the music queued up for me. Today was a good day. When Duke lose and Kentucky lose on the same day, neither one of them going to the Final Four, hallelujah. Great day.
We're going to say, sometimes you're watching games and you don't care if your bracket's messed up. You want to see you want to see a certain squad get defeated, man. So, again... And I think they were saying that almost like, at least in our bracket, almost like what a good 400, 500 people had Duke in the finals, Final Four, or even winning it. So that just kind of show you how amazing how that loss has kind of like changed the brackets. But we'll talk about that as always.
Yeah.
We have a lot of things to jump into.
You know what's so
West
funny?
Coast, we got,
every year,
yeah,
the dude who has the best bracket is some dude as a cardiologist who never watched basketball at the end of his life, win the tournament, the bracket challenge.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's crazy. You try to make educated decisions and try to, like, go with your heart and whatever. It's still just never, there's no rhyme or reason, man, ultimately, too. So, anyway, all good. Hey, really quick before we get started, I want to throw out the numbers like we always do. We got a lot of things to discuss, and we're going to keep the show right to an hour because, obviously, we're going to make sure that we get some rest because last week was pretty rough. So, we're going to try to keep it as close to the hour as possible, get all our topics in and all our comments and all that good jazz as well, too. So, really quickly, to call into the show, the number to call is always that same number. It's 424-243-9519. Call us in that area. Hope we'll hear from Nod. She was in a minute, too. Hope he's doing good as well. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports is the best way to follow your boys. And then last but not least, we are on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/12manSports or Talking Sports with the 12 Men. You got it. So we'll kick it off with the Oregon Sports Report. And I got to say congrats to the Blazers beating my Hawks right off the gate, man. It's kind of rough, but he caught us, and it was a good game, man. So anyway, I'll let you guys do that and get started. Curtis and Gary.
All right. Well, thank you. Hope you guys had a good week. You know, I wanted to give a shout-out to the Oregon team. You know, they lost. They didn't make it to the Elite Eight, but they played a great game. The game could have went either way. It was right down to the, you know, the last few minutes of the game. It was great. It was back and forth. And, you know, to recap their season, they were initially picked to win the Pac-12 with their, you know, with the injuries. You know, they had a rough season. Yeah, that's right. They had a rough start. So here we go. So they get into the Pac-12 tournament in the sixth spot. You know, they make it to the championship. They beat the Huskies by 20 points. You know, they go in and they beat number 5 Wisconsin. They end the winning streak of UC Irvine, and then they played really a great game against number 1 Virginia. You know, their percentage in the second half, you know, they shot 33% in the second half, but you know, they hustled, they fought, they clawed their way back in, and they had a chance. So I wanted to start off the bat with giving them a shout out. I know Curtis and I were talking about the Oregon in general, both Oregon men's and women's at the beginning of the season were picked to, you know, win the Pac-12. Now the women, you know, the women, Oregon women team, they're in the Final Four for the first time. They've made it to the Elite Eight before, but, you know, so we're real proud of those two programs. My prediction didn't come through, but up until just a few ticks on the clock, I thought it was going to. So we're real proud of them up here.
I thought Oregon was the better team. What I thought happened to them, they missed shots inside, they missed shots outside. It just wasn't their night for shooting. But I actually thought that Oregon was the better team. And I know it kind of broke my heart to see them lose that game, because I feel like they shouldn't have lost that game. I really do. And I know they had a shot, but they didn't miss shots because of the defense. They missed shots that were open shots. They missed some open looks, and they missed some open looks in the paint, and they missed some open looks at that three-point line.
Took basketball back 80 years with the offensive futility that was in that game. 53-49.
That's reserved for Michigan and Texas Tech. That was an abomination. I mean, that was almost
that was a bad too.
Sometimes, I mean, but just think
how good this Oregon team could have been if they would have Bol Bol. And speaking of Bol Bol, he did declare for the NBA draft, but you know, he was a big part of why Oregon was picked number 1 to win the Pac-12. They were able to pull it together at the end of the year. They played outstanding defense down the stretch, that Oregon team, and did a phenomenal job defensively against Virginia as well. But, you know, this could have been really a special year for Oregon if they would have had Bol Bol. And now, you know, he's declaring for the NBA draft, so you never did get to really see how good you can be with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also they got 11,000 at that women's game here at the Moda Center, the same venue that the Portland Trail Blazers play. So, and I was looking around the country at some of the other women's basketball, and I didn't see those kind of numbers in those stadiums around the country of fans, you know, paying to see that college women's basketball. Hopefully at the Final Four, and I think it's in Tampa. I'm gonna take a good look at the numbers they draw in Tampa for the Final Four for the women's. You know, I always go on that sports is a business. So, but this weekend in this area, we had the Seattle Mariners had a four-game thing with the Boston Red Sox. Our Oregon State baseball team was playing the Washington baseball team up there. We had the women's thing in both Eugene and in Portland. And it was a really good sports weekend here in this area. And we had really good weather for the Saturday and the Sunday here.
Yeah, the only thing that wasn't good was Nurkic. That was tough to watch. That was really tough.
Yeah, that was a big blow.
Hate to see that happen.
So you guys, Nurk's out for the Portland Trail Blazers. He didn't have any nerve damage, and he didn't have any muscle damage. So that's a good sign for the. You know, especially for this, as severe as Nurk's injury was, but the they put a one of the Portland fans put out a GoFundMe for a billboard for Nurk, just to encourage him. So right in front of the so all these people paid to have this on this GoFundMe page, and they got all this money just poured in. So. He was able to, see that big billboard in front of the Moda Center with, "Hey, get well soon, Nurk" on it. So, I thought that was kind of a cool thing for the Portland fans to do. Yeah, the Portland they're in the fourth spot right now with six games left, half a game out of the third spot behind Houston. They played the Pistons this last game. They didn't shoot well. They really didn't play very well. The one person I think played well was Cantor. He scored 20 points. He had 15 rebounds, and he had to go against Drummond, who also had a stud game at 22 points and 19 rebounds. But where Cantor really helped us out is on the offensive rebounds. I think he had 8 offensive rebounds. There's 6 games left. Of the 6 games left, they've got the Nuggets. Well, first of all, they've got the Timberwolves tomorrow. Then they've got the Grizzlies. I think those two they can win. Then they've got back-to-back games with the Nuggets, one at home and one away. Then they play the Lakers and the Kings. I think they can go 5-1 in these last 6 games. If they can go 5-1, Blazers get to 53 wins. That's what I'm hoping for.
That's fine.
We're not afraid of the Jazz.
You know what we can't do in Portland? And the minute I saw the Nurk game, to me I thought about now it's time for Cantor, Collins, Aminu, Heartless. This is you guys' time to step up. And the coaching staff for the Blazers. We're professional. We have to go beyond Nurk. Because what the fans hear, I really fear... Because it's been a big grip since the Portland Trailblazers were able to get out of that first round. And for the fans here in Portland, we absolutely, in my opinion, need to get out of that first round, Nurk or not. But I really would implore those people that I just named, this is your time to step up. And when it happened, Gary and I talked, because the last time Gary was on this radio station, he was telling you the production that they were getting in the center spot. It was something like 48 and 28 rebounds or something between Nurk and Cantor. Well, Collins, the least you guys can do between Collins and Cantor, the least they can do, the least they can do is keep up with that perception, that production in that center position. And I believe they can. If they can keep that production up, we may not miss. I mean, we're gonna miss Nurk, but I mean, we can't miss him now. It's go time now, and he's not gonna be there for us. So we gotta go. We gotta go.
Nice. All right.
Very cool. So we're two wins and three losses. No, we're two wins, one loss without Nurk so far, and you know, we really laid an egg in Detroit, and we should have beaten Detroit, but we didn't. But you know, the previous games, you know, against I think it was the Bulls and the Hawks, away we did good. So like I said, we got six left. Even 4-2, that gets us at 52 wins. I believe we'll either be at 52 wins or we'll be at 53 wins.
You know,
right.
Actually, guys, just to quick
what's that?
Because it's down the post field, is that right now the way it sits, but things stand still outside of Portland, getting probably the Clippers or Utah. Man, can you imagine getting Golden State and Oklahoma City in the first round as a 1-8 matchup? That would be awesome for the NBA playoffs to get that right out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Golden State, man? They beat the Hornets by like 85 points tonight.
What?
they opened up a can of whoop, whatever you want to call it, man. That was just a butt kicking, man. You know, and just to kind of comment on you know, Curtis, and hear your thoughts too. And it's interesting because you were talking about Oregon, and definitely want to agree with you as far as giving them a you know, some love for the way they played. But it's interesting because I know Curtis, you said that, you know, you think Oregon was a better team. And I think sometimes it happens. That's why that makes the tournament so interesting, because that's the thing. There are a lot of better teams supposedly on paper, but it's that one last second shot or that one moment that just neutralizes everything. So that's the beauty and the excitement of the game too, because sometimes, you know, I'm sure the squad's like, man, I know we're better than George Mason or whatever, and you just pull off some crazy wins. And for that day, all the shots are falling. You know, JQ, we talked about that Michigan game. That was just nightmare earlier. And you know, just, they just didn't shoot well, you know. Just that you get that one game where everything doesn't work right, man. So, you know, that's why how tough it is to continue to advance in the NCAA tournament.
Robin
and
Pan.
We'll talk about this later. And we'll talk about this later. That's another reason why you give Tom Izzo a huge bunch of credit, because he was lighting up his team. And you see how this is the results, right? You're like, man, see, you can't talk no more junk about Tom Izzo, because he knows how to
right.
work that team, you know. So it's just amazing how that little, like, the kind of words and the kind of motivation that, you know, whether it's in your butt or whatever, it's like, you know, whatever, and there's certain coaches that just know how to get things done too. But we'll talk about that. I know we definitely want to get into that. We definitely want to get these couple other topics in. I know Major League Baseball just came out, so we're going to talk about that. As much as it pains me, I feel like JQ here talking about the Phillies, their opening season, and very disappointing for the Braves here, because both the guys that I you know, especially JT Realmuto, I thought that was the guy we were targeting. You know, he's going off, throwing out runners, and it's just crazy. And then, of course, Bryce Harper, watching the ESPN Sunday night game, and just like, I guess Bryce Harper can do no harm. It's like, come on, man. It's all about Bryce Harper, man. So, you know, whatever. It is what it is. Braves didn't show up, but according to the ESPN, like, the Phillies have already won the World Series, man. But again, it's only the first freaking series of the season, man. So let it ride. We still got, you know, obviously 156 more games to go too. So I know. So it is what it is. It's just, you know, we got some young pitchers and we're trying to see where they develop and all that good jazz. But Rob, I'll let you do your thing, and then we'll get this party started here. We'll talk some baseball, and then we'll again recap a couple of the amazing games over the weekend, and we'll see how we can wrap up this show. So go ahead, Rob. The floor is yours.
Well, I mean, obviously, if we go transitioning into some of our baseball topics, I think you kind of covered it already with the Phillies and the Braves.
obviously a tough series for the Braves, losing all three matchups. Philly's getting off to a great start in the NL East. Obviously, Bryce Harper had his best day-to-day as a Philly. And obviously, 2-for-3, two homers in that ball game. So, great series for the Phillies to start the season. Of course, my Yankees, of course, won the opener and lost 2 to the Orioles. The Orioles hit 3 home runs today against the Yankees. They obviously have 3-hour rain delay today, but disappointing loss by the Yankees, 7-5 to the Orioles. Like I said, the Orioles hit 3 homers in that game over the Yankees. The Dodgers obviously had some pitching issues, but the offense was able to help them in a relentless comeback over the Diamondbacks today, 8-7 in that NL West matchup. The Rangers take 2 out of 3 from the Cubs. Joey Gallo scored the winning run in the bottom of the 9th inning to give the Rangers an 11-10 win over the Cubs. Globe Life Park right there in Texas, in Arlington. Red Sox had a tough loss to the Seattle Mariners today. Another brutal pitching performance by Red Sox pitcher Rick Porcello. He got beat up all day today by Seattle. Tough loss for them as well, but just like I enjoy seeing the Duke lose, today was also a good day when the Red Sox lose too.
Yeah, and you know me, I've been head over heels with this opening weekend. My Reds won opening day, but then of course they got rained out, and then they lost today 5-0. That lineup should never get shut out. And I was disappointed. I'm with you, Andre, today on that piece of it. But at least they got the first one. That Phillies team is going to be a problem, and I know that they are hyped over Bryce Harper and all that. But when you look at that team, when you talk about Harper, Ariel Muto, and McCutcheon, and Reese Hoskins, and Cabrera. I mean, that lineup is deep and fully loaded. There's not really any easy outs, anybody you can picture on in that lineup. I don't know why all the baseball, and especially the National League East, allowed Philadelphia to do that. With that on paper, offensively, if their pitcher can just hold water, they're going to be a tough out, and we're going to get tired of talking about Bryce Harper and the Phillies. But
that
lineup is stupid, though. I'll give them a lot of credit. They have assembled a really ignorant lineup. The Yankees, and this is what we talked about being early. There's no way over the course of the season the Orioles are a better team than the Yankees. For them to even take 2 or 3, I was shocked at, because I think the 5 of us and 4 dudes we took off at Home Depot could probably beat the Orioles in a 3-game set. So I'm just shocked that happened to the Yankees with all that firepower. And the same thing with the Rangers over the Cubs. The Dodgers beat the Braves off the Diamondbacks. I think the other day they hit like 7 home runs in that game against the Diamondbacks. And then if I'm Boston, I'm pissed. To wrap this up, if I win the World Series, I don't care if you're trying to keep us from being snowed out or rained out or whatever. There's no way, as a reigning World Series champ, that I'm supposed to open up 3,000 miles away from home in Seattle. Like, who does that? Like, I don't understand how you do that from a scheduling standpoint. And that's to take nothing away from Seattle. They did what they needed to do. They beat up on Chris Sale. They beat up on Porcello as well. But man, you can't open up closer to home, if not at home, as the reigning World Series champ. That was crazy to me, and it looked like it had the effect on them as well. But it's still early. You still got 159 games, 160 games left. You know, all things will shake out, you know, over the course of the season, as they always do. But that's just some of my takeaways from, you know, the topics and what I saw around the league.
Good job, Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I looked at a bunch of what I'm going to do about this baseball season. And – you know, this baseball season is kind of when I start really paying attention is after the All-Star break and seeing where everybody's at, and hopefully everybody's where they're supposed to be. But here in this neck of the woods, we've seen Seattle stay badly after the All-Star break. And, you know, going up to the All-Star break, they look like they got a chance to compete for the West. And then when we get to the after the All-Star break, it looks like they're not going to get there. And I hope that doesn't happen this year. It'd be good to see Seattle. Because I'm looking at making a few Seattle games. But the place I have the most fun, and it seems like I get the biggest deals in sports things, is go in and head down to L.A. and go to some Dodger games and go to some Angel games. The weather's always nice. The flights are always good for me and the hotels. And I do Lyft all day down there. And I go to some great spots, night spots, party spots in L.A. and enjoy. I'm looking into doing that a little bit more this baseball season. Especially, I could see myself doing them L.A. trips kind of nice. We talked about with that, the Angels are looking into getting a TV deal, and Trout was a big part of that reason. They had to get him in order to get this TV deal that they're working on down there with the Angels. And the Angels will be in Seattle tomorrow for a 3-day set. And I got things to do. I probably won't go, but if there's any chance for me to go and go up and watch Seattle play the Angels, I'm going to try to get that done. But at this moment in the season, I just keep up with what they're doing. My team is the Pirates. It's always a good day for me when the Pirates win.
Wow.
And it's always not so good of a day when the Pirates don't win. That's the one thing in baseball season that I keep up with every day. I see what the Pirates are doing.
That's a turn right there. Wow.
Okay, I got a story. This is about the Mariners, and this is about way back when Ichiro was playing with him in his heyday. And I was up there, and I just transferred to Seattle. These guys I work with, the new guy, they had an extra ticket. Let's take the new guy up there. They were playing the Yankees. They had no idea who my team was. So I go to this game. First of all, I go all Yankeed out. And before we stopped, we went to this dollar beer place, and we were chugging beers. And so I'm ordering up when we get to the game. And Ichiro's about maybe – his back was probably maybe – we were right on the wall, maybe 20 to 30 feet away from us. And I yelled and I screamed at him for, I would say, 4 or 5 innings. I mean, I'm yelling everything I can think of at him. And these guys are looking at me like, what the hell is he doing? Finally, at one point, Ichiro turned around, looked at me and stuck his arms out and goes, what? And then I guess that was enough. I didn't need any more. I didn't know what I should say at that point. So I just shut up and watched the game. But as he did that, I watched these security guys, and they were pretty close to me, but because I sat down and shut my mouth, they decided to let me stay.
Wow.
I never got invited again. And
that's
the Yankees crushed them.
That's a beautiful park in Seattle. I've had the opportunity to go. It's a beautiful park. And so it's the Dodger Stadium in Shea Ravine is not as beautiful, but you can just feel the history drip. You know what I mean? When you pull into it and you go sit down and you watch a game there. So I'm with you, Curtis. Yeah. Anytime you can go to those two parks, I think it's a good day. And
AT&T Park is probably the prettiest one I've been in. Right there on the bay, McCovey Cove. That was a fascinating setting. As a matter of fact, my picture on our Talking Sports page is a picture of me at a San Francisco Giants baseball game in that park.
Yep.
Wearing a San Francisco Giants hat with everything like that, too.
Yep.
Hey, good job. That's hilarious, too, man. That's crazy that you did that.
I love
it, because it's funny, and it's funny, speaking of Seattle, a huge just kind of a shout-out, too. Whenever you brought up Ichiro, it just reminded me of some great times of, and this is a tie to you, JQ, Jr., man, obviously King Griffey Jr., really great player, mm-hmm. and I was a huge fan of him too, man. Whenever I was a kid growing up and playing baseball too, so good job. What else you got, West Coast? Is that it that we got as far as your last thoughts on that?
I haven't taken advantage of this, and I don't know why. I got a lot of family in the Bay Area, Oakland, Sacramento, Half Moon Bay, Antioch. And my sister-in-law, you know, is the manager of the San Francisco post office. And when Barry Bonds was down there, she was always able to get tickets from the post office for me to go and watch Barry Bonds. And for some reason, I had no interest. I never took advantage of that. I didn't go to any of those games when she was. But I'll contact her. I mean, I didn't even think of that because I don't even think of that. But I know where that stadium is, and it is in a nice spot. And San Francisco is another one of my fun towns. A lot of it is because I got a lot of family there, but a lot of it is because of the activities they have in San Francisco. And I'll get a hold of her, and I'll see if she's still got that connection. And maybe that's another park, and maybe that's another thing I will do coming up and do the San Francisco Stadium.
Cool. All right. We're trying to keep this golden time. Go ahead.
I just said that's it from the west side.
Appreciate that. And we're going to try to get this in here with that's on me, 30 minutes here, so it's all good. Hey, let's talk about a couple things here. We're going to switch gears. I know we had a good intro into the start of the baseball season, but now let's talk about football, and then we're going to wrap it up, if we can, with an amazing NCAA tournament, if you will. Let's talk about a good question here about Antonio Brown, and Odell Beckham Jr. The question is, who is going to have a better year? Obviously, both wide receivers are, you know, changed squads, big news. So I guess throw it out to, you know, the drill, Rob, JQ, and West Coast. Who do you think is going to have a better year?
I'm going to go, believe it or not, I'm going to go Antonio Brown, even with the Raiders.
Wow.
I just think right now, when you look at production-wise, he's been having better years than Odell Beckham. And I think Derek Carr is going to be able to give him the football. And I just think another reason why I think Antonio Brown's going to have a better year than OBJ. I mean, Cleveland is going to have Jarvis Landry. They're going to have those backs out of the backfield. David Uncho is getting better as a pass-catching tight end. Baker Mayfield is going to have a lot of weapons to spread the football around. Well, I think Antonio Brown, he's going to have Terrell Williams take some of the pressure off of him. But I just think Antonio Brown has been an unguardable receiver. And Odell Beckham, I'm going to say it again, I don't think he's still the same player as we saw 2-3 years ago prior to his injury.
That is crazy talk. And I hear what you're saying, but that's the reason why I say OBJ is going to have a better year. Is because you're going to have so many people to defend in Cleveland. If all things are equal, everybody stays healthy. You feel like that's OBJ, and you got a roll coverage to him. But then when the backs come out the backfield and do that, and Landry does his, and you say, okay, you know, well, we can't keep playing this defense, and that's where OBJ is going to find his chance to kill you. When I look at Antonio Brown, is Antonio Brown a still wide receiver? There's no doubt. And of course, I hate the Steelers, but I, you know, and I've watched them, you know, twice a year destroy my Bengals. So I understand how good he is. But we talk about it. We don't know if David Carr's elite. We don't know if Baker Mayfield's elite. But right now, if I got to take one of the two, I'm taking Baker Mayfield. And the weapons that Cleveland has is going to give OBJ a lot more, you know, where you can't always keep that safety over top to him. And he's still dynamic enough with a quality quarterback. Let's not forget, he was hurt too, but he also had, you know, 43-year-old Eli Manning throwing him the ball. And Eli Manning has been done for a good 3 or 4 years now. So when you got a quarterback and Baker on the ascent, and we got a Carr that we don't know if he really that guy. I just don't know. I could see some Carr, Antonio Brown dust ups where he's like, dude, I was open and you just flat out missed me. What are you doing? And blowing up on the sideline. I could see that. I don't necessarily see that happening in Cleveland. Even OBJ can be volatile, but he has Landry there to keep him grounded. And I think that's the difference between the two of them. There's nobody there to keep Antonio Brown grounded. I think Landry has that effect on OBJ, and he also has a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. So I feel like OBJ also hears, you know, that talk that Rob is talking about from other people, and he's going to be like, okay, y'all think I'm done, y'all think I'm this, y'all think I'm that, okay, give me a solid quarterback and let me stay healthy and see what I can do. I think OBJ, as much as I hate to say it, I think OBJ has a little good year.
Where I want to go is where I'm thinking, and this is on paper, and this is skeptical, but I think this is going to depend on who's the better team. And it's a toss-up to me if the Raiders are going to be a better team than the Cleveland Browns. It looks like the Cleveland Browns are going to be the better team. And if they're going to be the better team with more wins, that's going to give OBJ is going to have more game-winning touchdowns or more touchdowns for Cleveland if they're projected to win as many games as they're projected to win. He's going to look better because of the winning records. So that question you pose has me thinking of the bigger picture of what team is better and what team is going to be in a position to win their division and be in a playoff game, which I believe is Cleveland, which is hard for me to say, which is going to make OBJ have the better year.
And I think OBJ will have a better, just like Rob, you mentioned the weapons that Cleveland's going to have. You know, that means he's going to be facing a lot less double coverage.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of times he's going to be facing one-on-one, and I don't see him having really too many issues with too many cornerbacks one-on-one. I think he's going to have a better year because of that. More weapons, meaning you can't spread, you can't double cover everybody, and when he's not, he's going to burn you.
Yeah, I think that was the whole purpose of the conversation, because I think we were saying that it definitely appears that based upon the team and what you said, Curtis, but also the question is who's going to have a better year between the players too. So, Antonio Brown is a physical freak. Yeah, he gets off. He's going to do his thing. But OBJ may have more opportunities because of the fact that you can't just isolate just on him. So that's where I see where JQ is talking about too. And if you look at that, Baker, like we said, and he's still jury's still out, but from what that small sample size, he at least seems to be a competent quarterback. He's on a bus, so at least that, all right, that offense is going to be do some great things too. So, very interesting question. I'm going to write this down. Rob has picked Antonio Brown, JQ, and probably most of us have picked OBJ, but we'll keep an eye on that as the season goes along. All right, gentlemen, we're still moving right along here. Let's see, what do we got going on? We got 20 minutes here. Let's talk about, this is an interesting question too. I do want to save some time for the NCAA talk, if you will. And then, let's talk about really quickly, do wide receivers want to play for Lamar Jackson, and is Carson Wentz the right leader for the Eagles? There's no choice now, but, go ahead, Rob.
I'm going to say it's going to be difficult for wide receivers to excel under Lamar Jackson with his style of play. So I'm going to say it's going to be a tough sell. Obviously, if you draft a wide receiver, the receiver won't have a choice. But I think it's going to be a tough sell for elite wide receivers to go play with Lamar Jackson from a free agency standpoint due to his style of play. And a lot of wide receivers in the league are pre-Madonna, so they like to get their stats as well. They like the football in their hands. So that's going to be a tough sell for the Ravens to be able to sell wide receivers to go there from a free agency standpoint to go play with Lamar Jackson. So I think the key for the Ravens offensively is build up that offensive line, have a running game, and try to draft some good receivers that you can get, because it's going to be hard to get them in free agency with Lamar Jackson at the quarterback position.
And I totally agree with that. And I think that initially, everything you just said, I agree with 100% initially. Like right now, in this next year or two, unless he just takes a quantum leap on the field, I think that's going to be really hard. Because I'm like, he doesn't see the field like other quarterbacks do, because he's a run-first quarterback. But the caveat I put in there is if he progresses, I think he can transition to that to be a more complete quarterback and bring that other dynamic to it with his running style, then they may be able to get some of those free agent wide receivers to come to Baltimore. But I'm with you 100%. Initially, right now, no, if you better draft some wide receivers you can keep for 3 or 4 years on the rookie deal and let them grow together with those dudes that are looking to switch teams and win right now with the way he's playing and where he is right now in terms of his ability to see the field and throw the ball, I can't see them going to Baltimore as a first choice.
Wow, what a great way to tie in everything. Now we're talking about a division. Well, Baltimore's in the same division with Baker Mayfield and OBJ. And Pittsburgh is still the odds-on favorite to win that division.
Mm.
For the Broncos,
so.
For Lamar's going to have to show a lot of growth. But I think, you know, they're bigger football people than we are. And they should, let me put should in there, they should have a lot more smarts, football smarts. And they have a lot more invested in Lamar Jackson. So I think they're going to get him a quarterback coach. I think they're going to set up a line, and that's going to be the biggest thing for them, is to set up a line that can pocket him up and give him the little 5 seconds that if he's got some smarts, he can utilize to help him out to, and, you know, the free agents, you know, if they're going through a process, but they're not that far away from winning that division. They won it last year. So, you know, this is just the next year after the year they just won the division. That all ties in. There are three teams that are vying for that division, which is a lot of pressure to get it right.
But they're not going to get it right because he's a run – he's a run-first quarterback.
Yeah.
You can, you know, I don't see, you know, even with coaching, I know these coaches can do miracles with some of these guys, but watching him, I don't think you're going to get a top-tier receiver or, you know, and, you know, I think you are absolutely, if I were, you know, part of that organization, I would say, we better bring in some receivers. We better, because we're not going to get any talent.
I think we got to start with the line. And all these passers need protection. And if they can give Lamar protection,
well,
he can grow.
You have more faith than I do with them,
yeah.
So this will go with that.
Yeah, agreed. Because more protection doesn't mean you necessarily see the field the way you see the field as a quarterback looking for wide receivers if you're always looking to run first. Even if you have a great line. So I'm 100% with you, Gary. And you too, Curtis, he's going to have to show a whole lot of growth in order for that to happen.
Yep.
But I agree. He doesn't seem to feel like he should in terms of the passing game right now.
Well, it's almost like he doesn't even – it's not even in his thought process. He gets the ball down. He's not looking for a receiver or a tight end or whatever. He's looking for a spot where he can run the ball. And, you know, so they won the division. He won it doing that, but – I don't think you're going to be winning the division again anytime soon.
Mm. Well, I think the Browns are the favorite. When you look at some of the defensive pieces that they have on their team right now and now with some of the offensive pieces they have too, I have to think the Browns are the favorite going into this season. And, I mean, I could be wrong. Obviously, that's why they play the games. But definitely on paper, I think the Browns are the team to beat. And not only do you have a Baker Mayfield and the weapons that he have on a perimeter, a decent offensive line, but then you got players on the defense like Myles Garrett who can rush the passer. And we know the most important positions in football is quarterback, somebody who's going to protect the quarterback, a pass rusher, and a great corner. And they almost have all of those boxes checked.
Yep, good call. All right, Rich. Here we go. All right, we got 50 minutes here. Let's. I really want to get into some stuff here as far as with the tournament. And then we'll see if we can fit into we're not trying to pick on JQ, but we'll see if the Lakers can turn it around. And then, well, actually, maybe we'll talk about Manu Ginobili. Is he a top 30 player? That's a good call. We didn't mention as well Rob Gronkowski retiring last week. And just kind of like just one of those crazy things that happened before the show too. But, you know, just it's crazy how certain dynamics and that will also play too. So, you know, a lot of things happen in kind of off-season, if you will, and a lot of the rules that have been happening too. And we'll try to kind of hopefully get a topic in there in the next couple of weeks too. But let's kind of recap. Obviously, it's the NCAA tournament. It's a couple big movements here, and that Duke loses to a well-coached Michigan State squad. Recapping Purdue and Virginia, man, that was a tough game. Carson was playing out of his mind. And then Gonzaga versus Texas Tech, and then Texas Tech down in Gonzaga. And, again, Gonzaga, they always do that to me. I try to, like, you know, put them in the finals, and they just take my heart, man. So it's pissing me off. But anyway, good game. Not to say that they can pull it off. You know, Mark Few was trying to do his thing, but I'll let you guys kind of recap that, and then we'll get ready to almost wrap the show up too. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you start off with Manu Ginobili. The reason why I brought that question up is I heard a debate with Skip Bayless, and Skip Bayless thought that Manu Ginobili was a top 30 player in NBA history. Manu Ginobili, heck of a basketball player. Obviously, the Spurs just retired his jersey in San Antonio. I believe it was last night or a couple of nights ago. So they just retired his jersey. Phenomenal, energetic basketball player that can do a lot of different things on the court. Not a top 30 player, though. I'm not going to go that far. You're talking about a player who maybe was an NBA All-Star once or twice, if that many times. I'm not sure off the top of my head. But, no, I cannot put him down as a top 30 player. I totally disagree with Skip Bayless on this argument. Like I said, he did help the Spurs to win a lot of championships. Great basketball player, phenomenal basketball player, a guy that brought a lot of energy to his team, a guy that played both ends of the floor, did a lot on court, did a lot in that community in San Antonio. I just cannot put him as a top 30 NBA player. I'm sorry. I totally disagree with that. And getting on to the college basketball, I'm sorry, before JQ goes into it. Obviously, Gonzaga, Texas Tech, phenomenal defensive team, and they shoot the three-pointer extremely well. And they got some pretty good athletes on that team, too. Phenomenal job by Texas Tech, first time in Final Four history. I thought going into the tournament, I thought Gonzaga was a little bit overrated. I really did. I thought Florida State was going to be the team to take them out. That didn't happen. But I thought they were a little bit overrated. Rui Hachimura, of course, is going to be a top lottery pick in the draft. Brandon Clark is coming on really good, but I still thought they were a little bit overrated going into the tournament. Obviously, you know, you all know my excitement of seeing Duke lose to Michigan State. And I kind of had a feeling that after seeing Michigan State the last two games, I was very impressed with Michigan State the last two. I was very impressed with them against LSU. And I can't remember who they beat in the second round, but whoever they beat, I watched it. They were very impressive. I kind of thought this was going to be the game where Duke luck finally runs out, even though it was still a close game. But this is a team that I think has a legitimate chance to win the championship.
University of Central Florida.
And in my opinion, I'm going to say they're my pick now to win the whole tournament right now, Michigan State. They're just tough as nails. This team don't even have a five-star recruit on it. And Tom Izzo just does a tremendous job coaching up his team, getting it done on the defensive end. You're not going to out-rebound them, so you can forget it. They're going to win the glass with defensive rebounds and offensive rebounds. You're just not going to out-rebound a Tom Izzo team. You can just forget about that. So I think they're a legitimate favorite going into the Final Four. Obviously, the Virginia-Purdue game, a phenomenal basketball game. I thought out of all four Elite Eight games, this was the best one. I mean, Carson, that was – what did you end up with, 43 points, 42 points?
42 points.
Man, he was just on fire, shooting the ball, taking the ball to the rack, helping his teammates out. Phenomenal basketball game. Virginia just was a little bit better team. Carson, that was – didn't quite get the help from Ryan Klein that helped him win in the Sweet 16 round. So just didn't quite get the help that he needed
to help them to beat Virginia in this matchup. But he was phenomenal from an individual effort. Virginia was just a better overall team in that matchup. So it should be interesting. Virginia-Auburn, this is a game I'm really wrestling with. I've gone back and forth. I think I'm leaning back toward Virginia in this one. So I'm going to go Virginia-Michigan State with Michigan State winning the championship.
Ooh, yeah. Hey, listen, I'm with you. I'm not going to spend too much time on Montezuma, but he's a stud. And there's no doubt about it. He deserves all the praise he gets, getting his jersey retired, all that good stuff. But top 30, that's just Skip Bayless being a Spurs homer. And he just says stuff to get it going. And that's why he makes the money that he makes, because he makes arguments that we wouldn't even think about having, that we probably shouldn't be having, but we have anyway, because he throws it out there into the atmosphere. But the top 30 player, no, come on, bro. You gotta put that Kool-Aid down and relax. Let him have his night and appreciate it for what he was, but that's not for real. And getting back to the college basketball, to me, the coolest moment for me this weekend is when Carson Edwards and the dude from Virginia, who looks like Cisco's younger cousin, when they both, you know, meet at half court right before overtime and just look at each other and start grinning like, yeah, we having us a ball game. But you could see it in their face. They knew they were in the moment of a classic after, you know,
Yeah.
Kaite or something like that, when he makes that shot to finish the overtime, and he just, you know, they just look at each other and start laughing before overtime starts. The sportsmanship and the recognition of you a stud, I'm a stud, we having us a ball game, we having a classic, let's go ahead and finish this off in overtime. I really thought that was really cool. You don't see that as much anymore with that level of sportsmanship.
Yeah.
We just like, man, we are throwing haymakers at each other, and we both still standing, and we going into overtime. So for me, that was really cool as well. Part of the reason why I couldn't pick Duke to win at all, it's because they can't shoot the ball from outside consistently like we used to seeing a Duke team be able to do. And they got by against UCF, and they got by against the last game before this one, winning who did you just play? They missed the shot at the end, and he had a wide-open shot, and he missed it. And you feel like at some point that luck either is going to run out or he's going to have a chance.
Virginia Tech.
Which luck, Virginia Tech, thank you. It just is weird to keep. You can't keep living like that, and I think you're going to keep advancing. And it's great for them and the run they had. And of course, you can talk about Zion and Barrett and all them, the studs. But that Michigan State team, man, they're tough as nails. And when we talked about Tom Izzo getting the buddy's face, which you talked about earlier, Dre, that's why I say I dare somebody from Michigan State to go say something to Tom Izzo. I dare them, and then they do this, and it goes further to the point I was making. Though that dude is one of the all-time greatest coaches. He's a living legend, and the fact that he was able to do that against that Vonnie team was really spectacular. And Gonzaga, Texas Tech, you know, I feel like I may be late to the party and taking these people now, but the way Texas Tech is playing defense right now, and I know that Michigan State is going to play tremendous defense as well, but the way those boys are locking people down, I mean, I think Michigan had, 8 points with 10 minutes left in the first half. Like,
it's
that's
nuts.
Unbelievable. They are locking people down. And then I'm looking at Auburn, and they're just, you know, it's about playing well at the right time. And I think Virginia, the ACC schools, they keep playing these tough, hard-nosed games. And, yeah, we know they come from a tough conference. But how can you keep doing that, winning these tough, close games consistently? Like, does it come and get you and bite you in the butt one of these times? So I hold her judgment until closer to the time. But I'm looking at a Texas Tech Auburn final, and nobody wants to see that, especially NCAA, because it's going to be hard to get eyeballs tuned into that. I know they cried big tears today losing Kentucky and losing Duke on the same day after losing North Carolina. I know they cried big tears. That is not what they wanted. But the way that those two teams are playing, especially with Texas Tech is playing defense.
Ooh, tears of joy for me.
Yeah, I know it was for you, but if you're in NCAA, you're talking about you need your blue bloods in the Final Four to get the eyeballs for the average viewer. And not having those teams in there, and as good as Virginia is, they're not a blue blood like that. Quit Carolina.
No.
Kentucky. Dude.
They had a strong ACC schedule, though, man. Man,
I agree.
I'll
talk
right
from all.
Yeah.
Like Gary says, it's a business. It's about money. And if you're talking about money and getting the average viewer to tune in, you get the average viewer to tune in to see you play Kentucky. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, my God, this is a historic matchup. I'm not going to watch that. Even though I might not know anybody outside of Zion Williamson, I'm going to watch it because it's Duke Kentucky. Can you get that same dude to watch the game if it's Texas Tech versus Auburn? It's my point.
Yeah, 3 minutes till the 2 minute warning. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go
ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, really
I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Great
weekend.
Well, the one thing I wanted to say about Skip Bayless, I believe him a lot of the times. But this time with Manu Ginobili, and Manu Ginobili, he was one of those guys that, you know, he was smart, always in the right position, great offensive player, defensive player, but a role player.
Crafty.
You're not going to be, if you're not that guy on your team, you're not, you know, he's not there. He's not top 30. He's not top 50. He may eke into the top 100 as far as I'm concerned. Going over the, you know, the Zags loss, you know, they got hit by a team that, you know, that played great defense and played a better game than they did. And, you know, the Zags also had a good season. They were one of the teams that were, you know, picked to be in the Final Four and even to be in the even the finals. They fell short. They'll be the part of the conversation next year. They're just one of those programs. Curtis, what do you got?
Well, I seen this in Portland TV today. I was watching one of the sports shows up there in Portland. And they had a question, you know, before they went to commercial. What NBA franchise has, in their existence, has the highest winning percentage of all time, of all NBA franchises? And since it was a local television station here in Portland, I kind of thought, okay, this is set up. It's got to be Portland because it's coming out of Portland. When they came after the break, it was the San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs, as a franchise, has the highest winning percentage of any NBA franchise in history. That's all I want to say about Ginobili, except for I'm with you guys. No, he's not in the top 50. I mean, Tim Duncan, I'm hoping, is in the top 50. And
Tim Duncan is some people's top five.
Yeah, you know, and I, is the Admiral in the top 50?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
What was that guy they got from UCLA that had that funny shot? Sean, I can't think of his name, but
Sean,
you know, he was a killer. Yeah, Sean Merritt. Yeah. I also want to go, my biggest surprise is I thought North Carolina had the goods to get in the Final Four. I was shocked that they didn't. I've always watched Kentucky because with Kentucky, you get to see if this experiment with this one-and-done stuff in college basketball is really the right formula, because Kentucky has bought into that. So I've been watching them for a long time.
Hey, Curtis, hold that thought. We got to wrap it up. Let's go ahead and do the OT, Rob. We got a minute, 40 something to wrap it up. I knew it was going to be a long thing. Go ahead. Let Rob wrap it up, but I'll let you finish up. Go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, this ends our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in once again to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12 Man. Obviously, as you can see, we got a lot to talk about, what's happening in the sports world, football. We get closer to the draft. Obviously, we're right in the middle of March Madness, getting ready for the Final Four, opening day in baseball, NBA playoffs around the corner. So we just got a lot to cover here. We're going to be back on the air live on Tuesday, April 9th. Not next Sunday, but a couple of days later on Tuesday, April 9th is going to be our next live show. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion on tonight. So you can click on the same link and you'll get the rest of the show. On any day this week to get the remainder of our show. We thank you again for tuning in. And stick with us, people. Good night.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I hope all y'all enjoyed these basketball games. I hope y'all still tune in to see some good basketball next week, even though your team may have got knocked out and may not be the big names. I think it's still going to be really good basketball and worth watching. And, of course, keep watching that baseball. I love it. I'm glad that it's back. We appreciate you. Talk to you next week.
There it is. All right. As always, we had to get that in. I'm sorry, Curtis. Let me cut you off, man. But I knew that you were going to have a pretty good statement, so I wanted to make sure that we got that in before we officially wrap up the show, too. So go ahead, and we'll wrap this up. We got about probably about 10 minutes after the show, we'll wrap this up too. But go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, what I was going with, like I said, Kentucky, Calipari, I'm really curious about that whole thing they've been doing. And I think what happened in this March Madness this year is I think this thought of the one-and-done thing might have ran its course. Really got to look at that because, you know, you get these superstar teams that have to learn, and this is what Calipari's been going through ever since he started this. His teams have to learn how to play together, have to try to get it all locked in to get to a final. And he has won one. He won one with the boy the Lakers are trying to get, Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're seeing how in college basketball, it is good for kids not to go that route. And if they can stay in there their sophomore and junior years, and if the teams can stay together also in the 3 to 4 year run that they have, this might be able to outweigh and outbeat teams come tournament time when they get to this March Madness. When I was looking, I kind of thought Kentucky might surprise us, and Calipari had a chance to surprise us again this year by having a team in the Final Four and then winning the whole thing. It would have blew my mind, but I wouldn't have been so surprised because he has done it and he's been doing it. But I think this tournament is kind of making me think something different. But the eyeball test I had North Carolina. They really look good. And so for me, a big shot that they didn't do it. But the eyeball test with Duke, Central Florida, Virginia Tech, they should have lost those games. But that Central Florida game, when I watched that game, what I thought, I'm a team in the Mad Madness tournament, and I just saw a team that should have won that game. I've got this all along. Duke was beatable. I don't know why the pundits say Duke was the favorite. When they played that Central Florida game, I saw that they were beatable. They were flat beatable. They were. And there was no way they were going to get to the Final Four.
JQ and myself prior to the tournament said the one knock on Duke was that they couldn't really shoot the basketball, and that's what haunted them going into the tournament time. The talent was there on this basketball team. And you know, one interesting thing about that game today, obviously I'm happy Duke lost, but if you're the coach of Duke, so-called great Coach K, they put the ball in R.J. Barrett's hand at the end of the game instead of Zion Williamson. That was a little bit surprising to me. And I think, you know, he did get that big three down the stretch. And maybe they thought he was the guy with the hot hand. But I would have think he was still wanted to get the ball to Zion Williamson down the stretch. And it really cost them. But I'm thankful that they lost.
Zion Williams, what did he have? He had like four turnovers, and he had that one where at a critical point where he took it out of bounds after a bucket and passed it behind the guy. You know,
turnovers. Yeah.
R.J. Barrett had seven turnovers. He had a lot of them down the stretch, too.
Yeah.
But Zion, but this guy, I'm with you, and that's what I was going to come back to. And that's on Coach K. And okay, you guys, that's a backhand dig you had at him. I mean, he's still one of the greatest coaches ever. Come on, Rob. But he made a mistake. He made a tactical mistake down the stretch of going R.J. Barrett, thinking R.J. has the more polished game so I can run it through him. But Zion is a bull in a china shop, and he just makes things happen down low. You have to at least put them in a two-man pick-and-roll game, something.
Yep.
Where Zion, you have to respect him and give him the ball, let him touch the ball in a position as a threat to score the ball. And I'm with you on that. That was a tactical error by Coach K. I think the last three possessions where they went to RJ and they didn't include Zion in there. I don't understand that. This dude has come back. He puts you on his shoulders at times, and he gets the crowd into it, and the energy he brings. How you don't involve him down the stretch in that game, I don't understand it. I think Coach K will be second-guessing himself a lot over this spring and summer about that sequence of events in that game, for sure.
Yep. But he's not going to have
Zion. Did they shut him down, though?
So you better be second-guessing.
Yeah.
Was that Tom Izzo that out-coached that because he knew they were going to Zion, though? That's a good question, too, because, again, Duke had 17 turnovers, and I really don't think that Duke really had a pure per point guard. So, again, there's a couple of things that if you look at the way that team was built, and I agree with what you're saying too, Rob, I mean, it's a good call on certain aspects of that too, because, again, you know, it's either going to one or two people like, well, you know, we know that Zion's going to get double teamed or something like that. So, R.J. Barrett, here's your opportunity to shine. And, again, he did not, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's defense or just him not making the play. It's just – that just comes down to, like you said, just that one split-second decision, man. Either you're going to be a star, you know, or you're going to be like the, you know, the GOAT. Not the greatest of all time, but the GOAT. But it's crazy. You know?
I'm just saying.
Hey, guys, I do want to have a respectable night for you, JQ, too, man. So I just want to ask really quickly, do you think the Lakers can turn it around?
I think he's just got to get healthy, and them shutting it down and the doctors convincing him to shut it down is what we kind of touched on all along, and you don't want to put an excuse out there because you still got to do better than what they did. But he just was not the same after that injury. So it really depends on does it heal properly, does he allow it to heal properly and sit down and just chill out for a little bit and let himself heal up and get moving. But outside of that, they got to find somebody else. They got to find another star to come. That West is loaded. And what they have happening right now is not going to win with them unless they get another star and not trade the whole team to get another star. But trying to say, hey, man, we got money. L.A. is the place for you. I think that's really the question. That's going to be the question for them almost every summer that they have LeBron on the team.
Yeah. I think, the elite free agents got to start thinking twice about going to L.A. right now. LeBron's getting up there in age. And if you're really smart, these elite free agents really should start thinking twice about trying to partner with LeBron anymore. It's not the LeBron that joined with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. It's not the LeBron that went back to Cleveland and go play with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. This is a LeBron that's knocking on 35 years old, coming off his first big injury of his career. And if you want to look for an all-star to play with to win a championship, you got to think twice about joining LeBron James right now. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know if that's really going to happen. But I think if you're an elite star, you have to think about that.
I think LeBron has to figure out what he wants to do. And on the shop, he's supposed to be an NBA owner. Hold up, fella. What you kind of need to do is you need to be all in on Laker basketball. Not at HBO, not at the Miracle Mile on CBS. Be all in on Laker basketball. The biggest questions out there in L.A., we do feel like Anthony Davis is coming to L.A. Although a lot of people are focusing on what the Knickerbockers can do. And it depends on what they do with this draft at a college. And if they hit a home run in the draft, Anthony Davis could absolutely be in New York. What the problem I'm hearing with L.A., LeBron is not totally focused on basketball and the L.A. Lakers, and he's going to need to do that for this team to turn this around. If they do get Anthony Davis, it doesn't look like they're going to get another all-star free agent. It doesn't look like anybody – Kawhi doesn't want to come there. Jimmy Butler, I don't think – he might be – Jimmy Butler may be – he's the only one out there that is a maybe. Kyrie's not coming to L.A. You know, but I think some of that problem is, again, LeBron. And I think some of that problem is Clutch Sports, his boys, and who wants to run stuff. I think they got bigger problems in L.A. than just the basketball. Jeannie Buss needs to say, look, LeBron, you got to be all focused here on this team and this basketball thing, and you got to put aside Hollywood. Do Hollywood after your contract. You got a contract here, buddy. Do the basketball. And I think he's going to reinvent himself a little bit because of his injury and his age, but he's still a super physical specimen, and he's still special in the NBA. And then the Lakers, if they can get him to buy in, then the Lakers have to reel and deal and get some shooters around him, some people that can shoot that rock. If they don't do that kind of stuff, LeBron's years in L.A. are going to be more about Hollywood than they are going to be about basketball. And I'm kind of surprised with that because
– easy to focus on basketball when you're in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, you know, it should be – look at the Laker greats, you know, Magic, Kareem, Will, Jerry West, whoever, whatever era you want to talk about, Kobe, Shaq. These guys were – they were all in.
Well, Shaq, not so much.
Well, even when he was in L.A., he was all in.
He was the best player on the thing because he was beating people up.
So with that said, I would if I were Magic and Buss, I would reel him back in and say, listen, you've got to decide now, right now. Are you all in? Are you with us? If not, we need to part ways.
Nice. I think that's a good way to end it. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure sharing this talking sports of the 12-man with you guys. Figured I'd wrap this up with Rob. Today was a good day. Rob,
yeah.
Joining the show as we prepare for our next week's episode.
Today was a good day. The Duke went down. Kentucky went down. And just a little lanyard, the Red Sox lost too.
I need to throw this in. And
we gotta wrap this up.
This is I'm not gonna blow you guys' mind like, you know, I did the last time. I don't know what the final score when I got here. The Portland Timbers was tied with the LA Galaxy 1-1. I don't know if they won or lost that game, but both the teams that were in the finals of the MLS, if Portland did not win. Both the teams that were in the finals last year, coming into this new season, Atlanta and Portland, have not won a game. Both of the two finalists last year in the MLS, they have not won a game.
He's terrible. He's terrible. Our new coach is terrible. That's a bad situation right there. But that's a whole other conversation. But, yeah, anyway.
We're going to go ahead and wrap things up. We're going to – thank our listeners for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be back on the air live again on Tuesday, April 9th. Once again, to our listeners, Tuesday night, April 9th, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to be back on Tuesday, April. Now, just a quick shout-out. UConn Women Huskies, 12th straight Final Four, an incredible accomplishment. But they went over Louisville today. Go to the 12th straight women's Final Four. Great job by the UConn Women Huskies. And Christian Yelich for the Milwaukee Brewers has hit a home run in each of his first four games. Wow, incredible feat.
Yep.
For the Milwaukee Brewers, for Christian Yelich to start the season. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on Tuesday, April 9th.
Yes, absolutely. Y'all have a good week. Y'all stay out of trouble as much baseball as you can. Get excited about it because that's all you're going to have here shortly. So you better come to grips with the fact that the rest of you are excited about baseball. I'm excited about it. You better get there. I appreciate y'all for listening to the show.
July is the money going vacation.
We got 2 weeks to finish up the NCAA, so let's let that sink in, and some basketball as well, too. So it's all good. But we got some stuff to consider.
Hey,
anyway,
have a good week, you guys.
Have a great week. We'll see you guys at the same time, same channel, or not same time, but at least the same channel. But be good, guys, and we'll talk soon as always. Peace.
That's what's up.
Peace.
All right, y'all be easy.